The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. When many of Jesus' disciples heard this, they said, "This teaching is difficult. Who can accept it?" But Jesus, being aware that his disciples were complaining about it, said to them, "Does this offend you? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? Is it the Spirit that gives life? It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But among you there are some who do not believe, for Jesus knew from the first who were the ones that did not believe, and who was the one that would betray him. And he said, 'For this reason I have told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted by the Father.' Because of this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer went about with him. So Jesus asked the 12, 'Do you also wish to go away?' Simon Peter answered him, 'Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God.' Jesus answered them, 'Did I not choose you, the 12? Yet one of you is a devil.' He was speaking of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, for though he one of the 12, he was going to betray him." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Well, we really started that gospel right in the middle of a story, didn't we? Because Jesus starts with asking his disciples and saying, "Okay, well, if it's difficult, do you believe it?" Well, what was it that they found so challenging? I'm sure we could guess a number of things, but let's dig into really what it was. If we back up in chapter 6 of the Gospel of John, we have this whole conversation that Jesus is having with a bunch of his followers, not just the 12, a bunch. And he says this, "Very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man, me, and drink my blood, you have no life in you. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me." I mean, I kind of get the disciples' point, right? Like, if someone showed up, let's be really honest for a second. We're in church, so we're already more likely to listen when people walk through the door in this arena. And if someone showed up and said, "You have to eat my flesh and drink my blood," we all have the same smile. That's what you can't see right now, but I can. And we all have that smile that goes kind of like this. So who's going to what are we doing? Who's escorting someone to the door? Like, are we well? Is this Twilight? The Vampire Diaries? Like, what are we watching? That's insane. And truly, I get it. Because that's wild. We have the added privilege, truly, of knowing what Jesus was going to do in his death on the cross. So with that knowledge, I want to dig in to really the thing that just strikes me so much about this passage, which there's so much. Every day could be a different sentence and you could dig into it. But we read in our gospel tonight how this is the conversation Jesus is having with a bunch of his disciples. And a bunch of them looked at each other and was like, "You know what? It's been fun. He's been all like, we're going to love one another. It's going to be great." And it just got weird. Truly, it got weird, and we're going to remove ourselves now. And a bunch of people stopped following him. A bunch of the disciples. Not the 12, but the disciples. And then we pick up where we did tonight. And Jesus is like, "Okay, well, do we believe it?" And it gets down to just the 12. And Jesus says this to the 12, knowing that one of them is going to betray him. He even calls Judas out and calls him a devil in front of everyone. That's a whole sermon series on its own right there. But it's the words of Simon Peter that I'm so struck by. Here's what he said. Because of this reality, many of his disciples had turned back and no longer went about with him. So Jesus then asked the 12, "Do you also wish to go away?" And Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of everlasting life." Where do we go? Yeah, that really does sound crazy, is the subtext that I hear from Peter, which we know he was such an outspoken disciple. Yeah, this all sounds a little nuts. But you have the words of life. Where else am I going? Where else could we possibly go? We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. This is the part where my translation gets loose, but you can just picture Peter. Where are we going to go? We believe that you are the Holy One of God. And yeah, that sounds a little crazy, but I'm going to trust you. And so I'm going to sit right here at your feet. And I can just picture his face. For whatever reason, probably because he's outspoken, he's the most expressive of the disciples to me so often. Okay? Because where else would I go? And I can't help but think about our journey on this earth, our lives. How often have we thought, this is a mess, I'm a mess, it's not going well, I need help. And I hate this one, but it's so true. I can't, you know, I can't show up to church at the moment. You know, I'm a mess. My life is not together. In fact, I'm just in tears or it's spilling out in every way. And I just can't go be around people. I can't do the whole, Jesus, like, I'm a mess. I'll see you when I'm back together. And yet that's the opposite of the example we get from Peter. Because Peter said, yeah, no, all of this seems a little bit messy, quite frankly. I have some questions about the whole eat my flesh and blood. Like, I don't know about all that. But I do believe that you are the Holy One. So what else do I do? When it comes to our own mess, where else do we go? And quite often we try a lot of things, our own things. If I just become more type A and I write more things in my planner, I'll be able to control all of the chaos happening around me. If I call more doctors and get more opinions, I'll be able to control it. If I lean into food or wine or Netflix or insert your vice here, it'll just improve it. But truly, Peter hit the nail on the head. It doesn't work. We might be able to disassociate for a little bit, numb out for a little bit, but the truth always remains. That's how we find ourselves in this place with Jesus. And friends, here's the great news. There's no better place. Not one. Because truthfully, Peter's words were not really a stellar recommendation for following Jesus. He said, I believe it. But I mean, where else do I go? Like, do I have another option? That's not really like a glowing 5-star review. And yet Jesus was like, yeah, you're in. Come on. Which means as messy as it feels and as undeserving as we know we are, we just meeting Jesus right where we are. He shows up to us and we lay it down at his feet. And that's where he takes over. That's where it is enough. We don't have to have our lives together. our I's dotted and our T's crossed. We don't have to understand every single bit of all the things happening in our life or all the things He's calling us to. We just have to show up. Jesus takes care of the rest. He is the Holy One of God. It doesn't matter how messy, how hard, how we feel like we're just flinging it at His feet. Because He loves us. That's what He wants us to do with Him. I want to read these words of Peter one more time. Because I want you to think in your own life, what is it that this is the cry of your heart right now? Lord, what do I even do? So Jesus asked the 12, "Do you also wish to go away?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." So wherever you are tonight, whatever it is that has you throwing your hands up, this promise is for you. Jesus is the Holy One of God, and His words offer us everlasting, eternal life. Amen.